for me, Brother Terry.
Appreciate that sweet prayer, Brother Charles. Thank God for blessing us to meet in this capacity once again. I ask each of you just to pray for me as I stand before you for a little while this morning. I'd like to read to you today from the book of 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles. If I have a subject matter on my mind, it's chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just ask you to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course. As the Apostle Paul told the brethren over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." What the Apostle Paul was praying, asking them to pray for, is that the word of God would be honored and respected and held, and that the message of the word would find a lodging place in the hearts of the Lord's people. It was that way for the brethren he was preaching to there at Thessalonica, and he was praying that it would be where he went to preach the gospel, that where he went to preach it, it would be in such a way, in such a manner, that it would have a place and a lodging place in the hearts of the Lord's people. Chapter 2 of the book of 1 Corinthians tells us really about the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how it is hidden from men that are according to nature, but yet it's revealed unto God's little children. Reading there, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And you see in that verse where he's differentiating between human wisdom, human understanding, natural thinking, and the gospel, the wonderful wisdom of God that's delivered in the gospel. He goes on and he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." If you and I today have a basic understanding of the gospel, how blessed we are that the Lord has enlightened us and allowed us to see it and know it. Because the wisest man and the wisest men of this world, the men of today that have great wisdom, have great intellect, who fill up the places of learning and of education, will not through that learning and that education or that human intellect come to know the things of God. And yet, a little babe can see and know these things when the Lord opens the door and allows them to see it. He says that the princes of this world didn't know it. He says, "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." He goes on and says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." There are some things that we are blessed to know that really involve the love of God and what God has done for those that he loves. It's about what the Lord has done so that we can have a better understanding of our life, why we're here, why we're on this earth, what it's all about, so that we won't have to be afraid of life, and we certainly won't have to be afraid of death. He says, there are things that God had prepared for them that love Him. He says, but God had revealed them unto us. The eye hadn't seen it, the ear hadn't heard it, the heart of man hadn't understood it, but God hath revealed this unto us by His Spirit. The us there is identifying a people that have an ability to know things they could not know according to nature. He goes on and he says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What things are we able to know? What things are we able to learn and understand? He says, the deep things of God. It's a wisdom that exceeds the wisdom of this world. You know, I think when we gather as a little body of believers and we understand and know what the Lord has done to some degree, we don't know it in full, we don't know it completely, we're digging in that, aren't we? It's a treasure. It's a hidden treasure. And this book that we have before us is God's Word that's given unto us, and we can come to it and need to come to it and continue to come to it. And though it is simple and easy to be understood, it is also very deep. It is hidden. It is precious. It is a treasure. It's what the Lord has given us to know in this world that just helps you understand things so much better. And if you have all the efforts of man trying to get all of that figured out, you'll never get to a place where you have peace. You'll never get to a place where you say, okay, I've got it figured out. You could spend your lifetime going after as a matter of fact, no doubt many men have lost their minds trying to figure it all out. And God has laid it down in His Word in a treasure. It's a treasure. It's a hidden treasure. It's hidden from the world. But God sees fit to reveal it unto us, His little children, and He does that in such a way that man cannot and should not get one bit of the glory for it. God has done it in such a way that all the glory goes back to God. You know why the glory ought to go back to God? Because God's worthy and deserving of all the glory. And therefore, we're to recognize today our duty and our responsibility and our reason for being here is to really glorify God. That's a reason we were made. And if we're new creatures, that's especially the reason that we were made. He says, for what man? He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Apostle Paul is telling the brethren here is that these things are mysteries. They're hidden. The world can't know it. The wisest men of this world can't know it. The princes can't know it. It is hidden, as he tells us in Matthew 11. The Lord saw fit to hide these things. They're hidden from the wise and prudent, but yet they're revealed unto babes. Where babes in Christ, little children of God, who may not have in the world's estimation very much intellect or understanding. Let's just face it today. If they looked at us today and judged us based on our intellectual ability, we wouldn't be impressing. I don't want to insult any of us here today, but let's be honest. We wouldn't be impressing anyone with our intellectual ability. You don't come to an old Baptist church and get impressed with their intellectual ability. What you find for the most part are the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. They're limping along. They look like, why would you be interested in uniting yourself with that group of people, that sect which is in the Acts of the Apostles that was everywhere spoken against? It wasn't like, well, you want to get some real wisdom? Go over there. Nobody in the world's pointing to an old Baptist church or an old Baptist preacher and say, if you want the wisdom of the world, you go over there. You listen to that brother that's called of the Lord, preaching from the Word of God. The world is not in general declaring that. As a matter of fact, this Bible is under attack today. If men could, they would wipe it from the face of the earth. They would take what's in it and what's taught in it, and they mock it and they ridicule it, and they mock and ridicule anyone who says, "I believe it." But listen, dear ones, we're told from the Word of God that this is the wisdom that'll bring you peace and joy and rest and satisfaction and answers where the world has no answers. His Word has answers. Where the world doesn't know anything, where it doesn't know anything, this tells us the things that we need to know. And men with all of their money and with all of their intellect and with all of their ability will not get closer to the Lord with all of those things. They get farther and farther away. And for us, we can also fall into that very trap. May the Lord bless us to see how much today. We need to humbly come and just look to the Lord for the truth of His Word. He goes on and he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." There are some things we want to talk about today that have been freely given to us of God. Isn't that good to know? Even there are many of God's little children who do not believe these things were freely given. They will say they're freely given, but you have to do this or that to get them. You have to do this action or this behavior to get them. Or you have to give this or do that to get them. This didn't say there was anything that was. He said it was freely given, without charge. You know what freely given means? It means grace. Grace has supplied to us this salvation. Grace is giving us this truth. He says, "Which things also we speak." What things? The things that are freely given to us of God. That's what he preached. See, the Apostle Paul was very centered in his preaching. His preaching wasn't all over every place. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about the politics. He didn't come bringing an argument through the philosophies and the understandings of men. No, he focused his attention and he focused his thoughts and he focused his mind and his heart upon the principles and the teachings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it in a way, in a manner that it was in simplicity. He says, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." That tells me today we're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to be able to preach, it'll have to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're able to hear preaching, it'll have to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we feel the Lord's Spirit, isn't the preaching good when you feel the Lord's Spirit? And isn't it dry and cold when you don't? I hope today's meeting's not going to be dry and cold. I hope we'll be dry physically. I hope we'll be warm physically. But I hope we're not spiritually dry and cold. I pray that the Lord's Spirit will move in our hearts where the Word of God would have free course and be glorified among us, to where we see the truth of God's Word for what it is as a treasure that's been given to us, even in an earthen vessel. He has placed it in us and allowed us to see and to know how great things the Lord had done for His people. He says, "But the natural man," he says, "which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Who tells the Lord what to do? You know, men like to think they can do that, but we don't tell the Lord what to do, do we? No, our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. What we want to talk about today, the Lord willing, is the things that are freely given to us of the Lord, what the Lord has done. Back in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," why did the Apostle Paul come to them? Because he was sent. He was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't volunteer. He was called out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was called as a minister of the gospel. He was called as an apostle. He was called to go preach primarily to the Gentiles, though he preached to both Jew and Gentiles. He's primarily the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm thankful for the apostle Paul, aren't you? I'm thankful that he was so blessed of God to pin down the truths of God in simplicity. But everything that the apostle Paul gave to us, he received from the Lord. He goes on and he tells us that which he preaches is that which he had received. He said first, "And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech." That means I didn't come with lofty words. I didn't come to try to impress you with my vocabulary. I didn't come to try to impress you with how well I could speak or any of those things. I was singly focused. And where my focus was, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I wanted to preach. He wanted to share and desired to share the gospel. He told the brethren in Rome that he was there to preach the gospel to you as much as in me is. He says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that be at Rome also." And wherever the Lord would lead him, wherever the Lord would send him, his desire was to preach Jesus Christ. And he recognized that Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He wasn't saying there that the power of God, that the gospel was the way that God gives life to the dead. Oh, he understood and taught that it was God who must quicken the dead. It was God who must first speak to the dead. In order to have this spiritual ability to understand spiritual truth, you first have to be born again. You have to be made a new creature. In order to understand spiritual things, I can't preach that life into you. God has to first move in the life of an individual, allowing them to be able to understand. No place in the Bible, there are other places that teach it, but no place in the Bible, in my opinion, no place in the Bible more clearly teaches that than this passage that I've read to you. You need a work of grace in order to understand the gospel. And that work of grace doesn't come through and by the preaching of the gospel. That work of grace must come first, where one is born of the Spirit of God, and then you're giving the ears to hear it, the eyes to see it, and the heart to understand it. The gospel is simply the truth as it is in Christ Jesus that tells us about the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. That's what the simple message of the gospel is. It tells you about what the Lord has done for those that love Him. Some might say, well, see there, you have to love Him first in order for Him to do things for you, because these are things that He prepared for them that love Him. Let me say this. The Bible very clearly tells us there's a reason we love Him. If you love Him today, and I believe you do, I believe that's why you're here. I believe the desire in your heart is to learn more of Him, and I believe you have that desire because you love Him. But we all understand this verse. We love Him. Why? He tells us that in 1 John. We love Him because He first loved us. It all begins not with our love to God, but it all begins with God's love for us. And the us there is His elect children. Those that He loved even before the foundation of the world. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." In other words, I'm not going to use human intellect. I'm not going to use human ability. I'm not going to use how well I can speak. I'm not going to use the means of this world in order to impart information by the natural mind and the educational principles that we can use and operate to teach mathematics or English or biology or whatever course we might be teaching. I'm not going to use those instruments. I am going to come depending upon the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we don't study and don't search the Word of God, and the ministers are told to do that. But we must come depending upon the Lord to teach His children. I'm so thankful today that as I stand in this pulpit, It is not by my ability or by my might or by my power that you can learn a single thing. But it's by the power of an almighty God who cannot fail. Aren't you thankful for that? God didn't give us a means of teaching and say, okay, it's up to you, get it done. No, He said, you trust in me, you lean upon me, you depend upon me, preacher. You study the Word of God, but when you go to preach, you don't depend on what you've done. You depend on what He's done. And lean upon Him to lead you and guide you and on every given occasion to bless you to preach in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. Because if the Lord's not in the preaching, it's just a cold, dry lecture. It may tinkle and cause the ear and the mind to be stirred up, but it won't move the heart. It won't be real. It'll just be another thing you learn. And it will cause you to be puffed up in your mind, where the true gospel causes you to be broken in your heart, and the salve of God comes and heals the wound. He breaks your heart and then He heals your wounds. He knocks you down and then He picks you up. He lets you see what you are by nature, which is lost and undone and without any hope. And He gives you the great consolation that I'll be with you, dear little child of grace. And because you feel like you do, you're a blessed little character because you're poor in spirit. And the Scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that good news today? It's good news for me. And I hope it's good news to you, that the Lord has done such great things for His people. Why did He do them? Because He foreknew them. He said, whom He did foreknow. He goes on and He says, I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And I came declaring. I'm declaring the gospel. I'm declaring unto you the testimony of God. Over in the book of Romans, I think Paul lays it out about as clear and as plain as we could possibly talk about it this morning. Most of this I'll just read in your hearing. I won't guarantee that, but that's what I feel like I'm going to do. He said in Romans 8:29, He's telling the simple things, things that can be understood by a little baby that's been lifted up to see them and know them and understand them. But things that are hidden from the highest minds in this world, and they can't see them. If they had been able to see them, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And notice the one who they crucified wasn't just the man, Jesus Christ. They crucified the Lord of glory. He was God made manifest in the flesh. And Jesus Christ and Him crucified isn't just about the message of Jesus and what He did on the cross. It begins even before the very foundation of the world. You believe that? I surely do. He says in Romans 8:29, He says, for whom He did foreknow. And that statement is talking about the love of God. Over in Ephesians, it talks about those that were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Get that? He did it in love. You know why God foreknew His people? Because He loved them. And when it says God foreknew them, it didn't mean He just saw what they would do and then because of that choose them. It means He loved them in covenant before the foundation of the world. Ephesians calls it a calling. He chose them. He chose them before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How could it be possible that you and I would ever get to that place if we were foreknown of God? I want you to know that's where we get back to the subject, Jesus and Him crucified. Do you see how foreknowledge also is about the subject of Jesus and Him crucified? Because the Lord foreknew them, He foreloved them, He saw down through time all mankind, and He didn't look down from heaven to see who would do good and who wouldn't do good. Yes, He looked down, but when He looked down, He saw this. There was none good, no, not one. Not me, not you, not anyone else. But then His love was there for His children. I don't know why He loved His children. I just know that He does. I don't understand a whole lot about love. It's an amazing thing. And I've shared this before, but it does come to my mind a lot of times when I'm holding my grandbaby, or when I'm thinking about my grandchildren, or when I'm thinking about my kids, and I think about how much I love them. I don't understand all about that, but I can think about it. You think about it. It means a lot. Means a lot. I don't know all about that, why that's there. I just know it's there. I just know it's there. I look at them and I say, I don't think I could love them any more than I love them. I don't think I could care for them any more than I care for them. But I'll tell you, that love pales. It pales in the comparison of how much God of heaven loved His little sheep, loved His children, loved His people. And it wasn't because of the good they were doing. He saw them doing all. Let's say it this way. I pray it's this way. He saw us doing all the things that we would do, all the things that we have done. You go back in your thoughts, I'll go back in mine. Don't spend a long time there, but let's think about it for just a moment. Where has the Lord seen us in this world? Acting and doing and behaving. How many places has it been that He had to be displeased with where we were and what we were doing? And when we think about whether we deserve His love, which one of us would dare say, He ought to love me because I've been such a good little boy, or I've been such a good little girl? I'll tell you, when I look at my life, even on my very best day, there's way too much wrong with me. Is that the way it is with you? And I sure would be afraid to die if I thought I had to stand before God based on my righteousness, based on what I've done, even if it was based on my very best day and my very best action. I know what the Bible says. When God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, He saw there was none good, no, not one. He saw that none sought after Him. There was none that would follow after Him. In Romans 3, He lays it out in detail, that there wasn't even any good about us, any part of us. He breaks it down. And if heaven would be gained by what we would do, I'll tell you, there'd be no good news today. But here's the good news. God foreknew a people. That means He loved them. He loved them more than I love my little grandbaby. And I love her to death. I love her to death. I love them all. Thank God for them. But God's love was greater than that. God's love was based upon His good pleasure and His purpose. He purposed to love them. And though I don't all understand, that's the mystery, isn't it? It's a hidden mystery. It's a hidden treasure. Why would God love them? Because He saw fit to love them. But I'll tell you what, nothing can separate them from that love. Can I say it this way to you? Nothing can separate you from His love. And He did everything that was necessary that one day you'll be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And there's not anything that can change that, because that is the purpose of Almighty God. These are the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That is, He prefixed their destiny to be conformed to the image of His Son. Does that involve Jesus and Him crucified? Absolutely. God's foreknowledge involved it, because in order for Him to foreknow them and forelove them, there had to be a price that's going to be paid. And there in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. Is this a mystery? Listen, many people hearing this would say that's foolishness. I don't believe that. Listen, I believe it. The Bible teaches it. And I believe that the Lord in covenant before the very foundation of the world, we were individually and particularly given unto His Son. And His Son came to die for us. And He took our sins from Him and put them on His own precious body. And there at Calvary, He paid a sin debt we could not pay. And our sin debt was removed from us as far as the east is from the west. This is not a hard thing to understand. It's very simple. But if the Lord has not opened your eyes and your understanding, you won't have anything of it. First of all, you wouldn't feel the need of it. I say to you today, if the Lord hadn't placed in you that understanding that without Him you're in trouble, without Him you're lost and undone. Even in some of God's children, they don't know why they're in trouble. They just know they're in trouble. They know they're heart sick. They're like a young rich ruler who's come to the Lord and wondering, you know, I've tried to do all the commandments. I've tried to keep them. I've done that from my youth up. But something I'm still lacking. Wonder why he felt something was lacking. Because it was. And in us and you and me, there's something lacking that only the Lord Jesus Christ himself can satisfy and fulfill. And that is the rest and peace and knowing I am in the hands of a loving God and a loving Savior who will never cast me away. And he loved me so much, he sent his only begotten Son here into this world, and the Son loved me so much that he came and willingly died and paid the sin debt and secured for me my home in heaven. And I don't have to be concerned about that. I want to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to learn more about what it is we ought to be doing, not in order to become his children, but that we might act better like his children. And point and glorify him. Point to him and glorify him better in our lives. This subject is getting bigger and bigger, as y'all can see. I hope you're not getting nervous. I'm not going to try to exhaust it. I couldn't even begin to touch on it. You know, it's an inexhaustible. It's the hidden treasure. It's what the Lord's allowed you to see. Can you see it a little bit? Can you see it a little bit with me today? Can you understand that God did foreknow his people? He loved them. Wasn't a few people either. You know what he said here? That he would be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Get that word. Many brethren. I'm glad it said many brethren. You know why it said many brethren? Because there are many brethren. That's what's good about the Bible. It says what it means. It means what it says. He's the firstborn among many brethren. The Lord has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. The Lord has a people. Some people have accused Old Baptists of believing only they were going to heaven. They are going to be the only ones up in heaven. Nothing could be farther from the truth, at least among the people that I know as Old Baptists. The Old Baptists believe that God has a people all around this world. Some of them never see the light of day. They die before they ever get into this world. But if they were his, they belong to him, they'll be with him in glory. Some of them never hear a gospel message. But the Lord speaks to them by the power of the Holy Spirit and gives life to them, gives life to the dead. He doesn't wait for the preacher to get there to give life. He gives life, and he can do it in the womb as well as the last breath a man's taking. Somewhere between somewhere between conception and the grave, somewhere between conception and death, they will be effectually called by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? I do. When he does that, he works a work of grace in them, and no man can hinder it. And they may not even understand exactly what's going on, but they know something's changed. They've been made a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Sometimes I come across people that just say, oh, well, I hope I've been made a new creature. Can I say to you that if you hope you've been made a new creature, that's pretty good evidence you've been made a new creature. Some people say, well, you got to get this to him before he can get alive. I want you to know the Lord speaks and they live. What did he say in John 5:25? The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He doesn't have any trouble awakening the dead. We talked about Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus last weekend. And we were reminded again of what Jesus did when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. And he stood there at that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. One preacher said that if he hadn't have said, Lazarus, come forth, then the whole cemetery would have been emptied, because he has that kind of power. But he called him specifically. I want you to know, when he gives life to the dead, he works in the heart of his little children by the power of the Holy Spirit without any other help or assistance. He gives life, and when he speaks life, they live. And every one of them are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Not only to get to the place they're born again, but to get to the place where their body, soul, and spirit made like unto Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't leave any part of that up to us? If he'd have left any part up to me, I'd have messed that up. If he'd have left it up to you, you'd have messed that up. But he didn't. These are the good things the Apostle Paul said, I'm preaching. And he also said, you can't hear them or see them and know them unless I have given you an eye and an ear and a heart. And if you can see them and know them, they're for you. Isn't that good to know? It's not just for the others. It's not for the elect that are out there. But it's for me. It's for you as his elect, as the elect of God, because he saw fit to choose us. That we might be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When we get to heaven, there's going to be many brethren. Oh, I'm longing for the day I can see some of those that have gone home to be with the Lord. And I love them so much, and I love them while they were here. I believe I love them over there. I believe we'll know one another as we are known. I don't believe we'll have any of the hindrances that get in our way here. I don't believe there's going to be feuds or fights or fussing over there. But I do know this, all the good things that we've enjoyed that are of the Lord, they'll be there multiplied many times over, and we'll be like Christ. Would that sound good? And we'll be satisfied to be forever with the Lord. You know how many of the Lord's people that he foreknew are going to get there? Every one of them. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I shall lose nothing. That means he won't lose any part of them. Not their body, not their soul, not their spirit. But we'll be forever with the Lord. Is that some of the good things? Yes. That he has prepared for him, them that love him. Yes. Is that what the Apostle Paul preached? That was his focus in preaching. That was what he preached. And all of it involved Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because I tell you, without the cross, without Jesus' death, there would have been none of this accomplished. That was all in the purpose of God. Men thought they were doing something to take him away, and they were even in that action that they thought was against him. They were fulfilling the very purpose of God in that Jesus was sent into this world. Jesus told them very early on, though the disciples didn't understand it, Jesus told them very early on, he says, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer these things and die. But he didn't just leave it there, did he? He said, and rise again. He rose that we might rise. He rose that we might live. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And everything that he did, that's what the Apostle Paul preached. There were those that couldn't hear it, but there were those that could. Brethren, if we're blessed today to be among those that could, we are such a blessed people. We have so much to be thankful for. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's the effectual calling, where he speaks life to the dead. Who does he call? Those he foreknew, those he loved, those he predestinated. How are they going to get there? He's got to call them. He calls them. Every one of them are called. Every one of them. We don't know when it happens. We just know when it happens, they're changed. They're made new creatures in Christ. And those whom he predestinated, them he called. And whom he called, them he also justified. He justified them in that he died for them on the cross and paid the sin debt for them. Here again is the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know how you were justified? Jesus Christ and him crucified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That means everyone that he died for and paid the sin debt for will get what he bought and paid for. And that is, they will be raised in a glorified body, made and fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If we're able to understand that and talk about that today, we're talking about the wisdom of God that was hidden from generations, even in types and shadows, it was given in the Old Testament, not to the degree that is given to us today. What a blessed day we have before us. This indeed is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That God has allowed us to know that God did foreknow a people, and he did predestinate them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And every one of them he called. And everyone that he called, he justified. Paid the sin debt for. And everyone that he justified will get that which he bought and paid for. And there won't be the loss of one. And why is that? Because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. If the Lord hadn't touched your heart, all of this would seem as foolishness to you. But if you can understand it, if you can believe it, that's evidence that he did that for you, that you are among his elect. And therefore we ought to live as the children of light and walk more closely as much as we can in obedience to him. If it's found a lodging place in your heart, give the Lord the praise and the thanks, because he's the only one that can do that. Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Talked to Brother Joe Miller last night, told him how bad I was feeling about all my efforts to stand before the Lord's people. Because there's sometimes I just feel like I'm such a mess. You know, and then I read where the Apostle Paul said he was with them in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This old flesh we all have to contend with, don't we? We all have to battle that. The only way that a man can stand in the awesome place of standing before God's people and telling them about the great things the Lord has done is by the power of Almighty God. It's the only way he can stand. He ought to be in himself weak and fearing and much trembling. But in the Lord, he needs to be strong and he needs to be faithful. I appreciate your prayers this morning. Appreciate your attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you. It's been a sweet little time of trying my best to tell you about how great a Lord we do have. And in the storms that we're in this world, it's surely a blessing to have a friend like Jesus, isn't it? Not a weak friend, not another Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible, who's a powerful, almighty God, King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus is Lord. We say that together. Amen. Jesus is Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
571.
571.